You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
I'm so glad I found you. I'm not gonna lose you. Whatever it takes, I will stay here with you. Take it to the good times. See it through the bad times. Whatever it takes is what I'm gonna do.
Let them say we're crazy. What do they know? Put your arms around me, baby. Don't ever let go. Let the world around us just fall apart. Baby, we can make it if we're heart to heart. And we can build this thing together. Standing strong forever. Nothing's gonna stop us now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that song is dedicated to you tonight from yours truly, James Edwards, and the one and only Keith Alexander the Great. And how can we not be filled with love in our hearts for Mr. and Mrs. TPC when we get to start off each show with such an outpouring of affection from this listening audience? Welcome to tonight's show. It's Saturday evening, July 27th, we are in the middle of the dog days of summer, but don't you know, autumn is coming soon. We are here with you every week, every month, every season, and every year for the past 15 years. How about a quick sampling of fan mail? Keith, can you do it?
I can do it. I tell you, the dog days are here, and this dog is looking for shade.
And that is why they call it the dog days. It's so hot, a dog won't even get off the porch. So that's
mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun, right?
Well, let me tell you what's coming up tonight. Big show. Brother Nathaniel's back. The extraordinary Brother
one
Nathaniel.
One and only.
Brother Nathaniel Kapner is back in the second hour. And Sonny
Behold,
Thomas.
What do they say in the Bible? Behold, a true Israelite with no guile. That's our man, Brother Nathaniel.
He's coming up. This hour, we're going to be talking about that race hoax in Georgia involving the state lawmaker there, Erica Thomas, as well as Emmett Till, the gift that keeps on giving for the anti-white hordes. And that's coming up this hour. But first, how about a quick reading of some of the correspondence we've gotten this week? Keith, it seems like every week now we're featuring a letter or an email or something from the UK, but this comes from Andy over there in our ancestral homeland. Hi, James. I hope you and the family are well. I'm still an avid listener and fan of you. Listen every week. It keeps me occupied and in touch with reality. Being unable to get around too much these days, your shows are very important to me. I'm still involved in advising, assisting fellow Christian conservatives when required, so all's good, and I thank God for it. I expect you followed the mess the British government have themselves in. It shows how the deep corruption is within politics these days. The press in the USA haven't stopped either. Oh, my Lord, the Jews hate us so much. Keep well, my friend, and keep up the good fight. You have God on your side. Well, thank you so much, Andy, for that.
Let me say something real quickly. Andy, you are with the mother country. You're the mothership there in England. We are satellites out here in the Anglosphere. We know that you have suffered the same indignities that we have, the same betrayal of your ancestral homeland. You've got to fight. Keep on fighting. You're the leaders, guys. Do it.
All right. How about this one, which reads enclosed? It's addressed to the political cesspool. Enclosed is a $25 contribution to the fine gentleman at TPC. James Edwards and Keith Alexander do an excellent job of fighting for white Christian people. You guys are great. May God bless you. And that's signed an Arkansas Patriot. Well, we appreciate it from Arkansas. And how about this one from Queensland, Australia, Keith? Just came in this week. Dear James, I enjoy listening to you and Keith. Keith, you're getting mentioned increasingly on every piece of correspondence that we get. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like it. I'm basking in the glow of this newfound fame, I guess.
He is a 15-year overnight sensation, ladies and gentlemen. Dear James, I enjoy listening to you and Keith on TPC with all the different guests that you have on each week. It always brings a good ending to my week. I'm very impressed with the new website design. It looks very slick and nice. I'll donate 110 shekels for spreading the good news. Must go now. Tell Keith I said hello and send my regards to him. So I'm doing that now, Keith, to you while we're live over there. That comes from Paul in Australia. Keith, when you were a young man, did you ever believe that you'd live to see the day when a listener from Australia would send you a little bit of warm wishes?
I tell you what, it's almost like going to the moon. You know, we've been celebrating that. But look, the Anglosphere is out there. Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the former Rhodesia, the former South Africa. You know, the present manifestation of South Africa is a different thing. But, you know, all of this in the Anglosphere, including Wales, Scotland, Ireland, everything else. Look, we are the ones that have brought civilization to a peak, and it's wonderful. You need to realize that, everybody in the Anglosphere, and celebrate your heritage. In fact, all white people need to celebrate their heritage, because think of what the last 3,000 years of history, or even the last 700 years of history, would have been like without the white race. It would have been stuck in an eternal dark age.
Well, that's why, Keith, we posted to our website this week, well, really a couple of things. Number one, you should go back, and Lacey Lynn has put on her YouTube channel a commercial-free version of our interview with her that took place a couple of weeks ago. So check that out. We posted that to thepoliticalcesspool.org just this week, and it has a new opening introduction from Lacey to preface the interview that you heard here. So check that out. Also, Ramsey Paul said something along the lines of what you just touched on, Keith, and he was talking about all of the good that our people have done. And we posted this video, I believe it was on Friday, I believe. And anyway, he said, stop apologizing. We've done so much good for all of humanity, for ourselves, for our children, for blacks, for Hispanics, for Jews, for everyone. And he said, nobody else gets into this business to where they apologize to other races for things their ancestors did. And he gave a couple of examples. You know, blacks don't apologize for selling their kinsmen into slavery in the first place. Jews don't apologize for
financing the whole operation.
Well, or for the Holodomor, or for killing Jesus, or any of these things. Nobody apologizes for things their ancestors did, especially not, and it especially shouldn't be the people who have done so much more good than bad. By any objective standard.
All these people want to live in a first world nation, but you can't have a first world nation with a third world population, as we've said many times in the past. We need to stop. Look, what Ramsey was saying, and that is excellent. I recommend everybody listen to it. It's very short, but very concise. Identity politics is the wave of the future. You've got to do it. If you don't, you're bringing a knife to the gunfight, and that never works out well. The rest of the world, it's a matter of race. You know, remember James Carville said it's the economy stupid? Today, we need to say it's race stupid. Why do they hate conservatives and like liberals? Because conservatism is supposedly the political inclination of whites. Why do they hate Christianity? Because that's seen in the world as a white man's religion, stuff like that. It's all about race. That's why they're coming after us, James.
Couple more things for the mailbag. We're going to take that first break and then get into the show. Dear Mr. Edwards, listen to this, Keith. We saved the best for last this week. I'm 89 years old, disabled, retired many years, and on a declining income, but your cause is just. So here's a bit of pocket change. And that came in from a first-time donor, a nearly 90-year-old man. Gave us a little bit of his support this week, and I'll tell you that means as much as anything we've ever received. Thank you for that, sir. We hope you make you proud tonight. We'll be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, everybody. The first item we want to bring to your attention tonight is the latest race hoax. And this was actually, I believe, breaking last weekend, even as we may have been on the show. And we didn't find out about it until Sunday morning of last week. But nevertheless, it was pretty big news, and it certainly gives us a good teachable moment here on TPC. So what it involves is this state legislator by the name of Erica Thomas. Now, Erica Thomas is a very big black woman in Georgia, and she is a lawmaker. She was elected to the State House of Representatives there. And while she was at a Publix grocery store, she said that a white man came up to her and verbally accosted her and told her to go back to her country, go back to where she came from. Now, you'll remember that there was a big row in the media a few days ago involving Trump and the send her home chants, things like that. So she thought she would capitalize on this and become the next martyr, the next darling for the media, the next Jussie Smollett. And before I ever even knew any of the facts, just from having seen what she was alleging, I instantly put something up on Twitter with this story underneath it for reference saying, does anyone really fall for these hoaxes anymore? Let the store produce the video showing this racist verbal assault, or it didn't happen. I had no facts whatsoever, but I knew instantly that it was a hoax. I mean, no white man in this day and age is going to go up to a black woman and just start verbally assaulting her in a grocery store. It just doesn't happen. And sure enough, it did turn out to unravel. And it's a pretty interesting story, but let us first play for you her claims. Keith, first of all, you've seen a picture of her. I mean, explain what we're looking at here, what we're working with.
Well, she would be in the shadow of Stacey Abrams, but I think she's too big to be in anyone's shadow. She's got a behind on the size of a number 10 wash tub. She is huge, and she is full of grievances. I mean, as big as she is, her sense of grievance is even greater.
That was that all off the cuff, lady. You would think that this was something that was set up for like morning talk radio, the morning drive radio. Keith actually just did that ad lib. But anyway, here we're going to play a clip now of her. She was, first of all, I want you to just listen to how she, and keep in mind as you listen to what she's claiming that she's making all of this up, and she knows she's making all of this up. But listen to her try to sell it. Anybody who could go through with something like this, this pretend,
it's mock outrage.
Very mentally unstable, but yet she's a lawmaker, and that's what you get in a third world society. Here she comes.
So you know, I decided to go live because I'm very upset because people are getting really out of control with this. With this white privilege stuff. I'm at the grocery store and I'm in the 10 aisle, the aisle that says 10 items or less. Yes, I have 15 items, but I'm 9 months pregnant and I can't stand up for long. And this white man comes up to me and says, "You lazy son of a bitch." You need to go back where you came from. And he says that. I said, "Sir, you don't even know me. I'm not lazy. I'm 9 months pregnant." He says, "You're ignorant." "You're ignorant." And I'm not ignorant. And it hurt me so bad. I'm sorry, y'all, because everything in me wanted to just tell him. Who I am and how I don't. But I couldn't get anything out. I could just tell him, "Please leave me alone, please." And my child is just sitting right there.
All right, so that you get the idea. Now, the media latched onto this like, what would you say, Keith? A dog after a bloody bone?
Yeah, exactly. Or a duck on a June bug or something.
And they ran this thing as this was some hate crime spurred on by Donald Trump and the whole atmosphere of hate that Trump has instilled in this country, that a white man would go up and tell this black lawmaker she needs to go back to where she came from. Now, the very next day, she's already backpedaling in a big way because guess what? The guy that was in question showed up at her press conference and really actually did a pretty good job. Now, he cucked a little bit. He's clearly a white guy. He's blonde hair. He's as white as me or Keith. And he said, "Well, I'm a Cuban and my grandmother spoke Spanish." And he's trying to, you know, as if that makes him a good guy or something, you know, gives him a little
Democrats
cover.
Are the real racists.
Right, stuff like that. But what he said was, "I did call you lazy because you had a shopping cart full of goods in the express lane." But he never said anything about go back to your country, all of this stuff that she was alleging. But as
she accuses him of wanting his 5 minutes of fame, it would seem more appropriate for him to point out that she is doing this to claim her 5 minutes of fame.
Absolutely. Yeah. She saw all of the press that those women were getting. She thought she'd cash in on it. She's a lawmaker. She probably fancies herself as a budding governor, but she was already starting to walk it back the next day.
Why should Stacey Abrams get all the publicity as a fat black woman?
Here's what she said the next day.
He said, "Go back," you know, those types of words. I don't want to say he said, "Go back to your country" or "Go back to where he came from," but he was making those types of references is what I remember.
Now, what he said was, "You need to go back into the other line, and not with your full cart of groceries, not the express lane." And she tried to make this out into a racial thing. She knows she made it up. The press knows she made it up. But even after she started walking it back, and even after this guy, I think quite courageously, showed up to her press conference to speak on this matter and defended himself, he did do a little bit of cucking, but for the most part, he never did back down. He said, "Yes, I called you a lazy B-I-T, you know the rest, female dog." But I didn't, all of this other stuff, you know, I didn't say it, and I know I didn't say it. And Keith and I watched the entire press conference earlier today, and she got irate that he showed up. I think she was very surprised that he showed up. And
she tried to not let him talk. She kept talking over him. It's just, these are the only people in the world that think they can win an argument by talking louder than their adversary.
Well, as Anthony Cumia said, who has also once appeared on TPC, because of the media, and even after this whole thing began to unravel as another hate hoax, Anthony Cumia remarked that Now, all these people think some Trump supporter attacked a black woman in a store. Regardless of the truth, they'll just always believe this. Erica Thomas, and that's her name, needs to be held accountable for her BS, especially as some sort of public official. And even after it all began to unravel, Keith, the media was still just running out the story about how the first version of events, as she pretended them to be, they kept running out that story. And this is the thing that the media will do. Well, yeah, it didn't happen in this case, but it could have happened.
Well, they totally ignored the counterpoint that the supposed white racist said. And there's of course, it's very easy to get to the bottom of it. The grocery store has a video surveillance camera up there.
And he asked, and you saw in the press conference, he asked her to consult with the video. And, of course, she just tried to raise her voice.
She raised her voice to win the argument.
Bottom line, here's what happened. Two people are at a store. One is abusing the express checkout lane. A guy gets mad, and she turns this into this racially charged incident to where she could become a media darling and basically get all of the fruits that come with that. And so that is what happened. But and it's totally unsurprising to me that the media inflated this lie told by Representative Erica Thomas in real life instances like the Knoxville Horror. Now, that's a legitimate example of victims who were targeted solely because of their race. Their names were Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom. But you don't hear about that. In fact, you heard more about this than you did about them.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, a hurt feelings outweigh a brutal 5-day torture and murder.
All right, folks, we'll continue on with this a little bit more in the next segment. And then we've got plenty more to get to tonight, leading our way up to working our way towards Brother Nathaniel here in the second hour. Still so much more to come. Stay tuned, won't you?
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is lashing out at Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings after he was authorized to subpoena text and emails from White House officials. As chair of the House Oversight Committee, Cummings criticized Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan for the poor conditions at detention centers at the border. The president tweeted that Cummings is a bully for screaming at the Border Patrol. Cummings tweeted back that it's his duty to conduct oversight of the executive branch, and it is also his moral duty to fight for his constituents. The Supreme Court has given the go-ahead for work to begin on several sections of a southern border wall. A 5-4 vote by the conservative majority high court gave the president a win by allowing his administration to redirect $2.5 billion in money approved by Congress for the Pentagon to help build his border wall. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
The Speaker of the House and OAC have met to clear the air. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
A meeting of the minds behind closed doors Friday between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. Ocasio-Cortez shared her thoughts on the meeting with reporters as she walked to the elevator.
It was a positive meeting and productive.
Pelosi had this to say.
I have some level of confidence and actually joy in seeing diversity in our caucus.
The two have disagreed over whether to start the impeachment process against the president.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler filed a petition in federal court to obtain secret grand jury material from the Mueller investigation. Nadler said the panel needs the information to consider whether to pursue impeachment against the president after Robert Mueller's testimony.
He told us in a remarkable exchange that but for the Department of Justice policy from prohibiting from doing so, he would have indicted President Trump.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so what we were talking about in that last segment, again, if you boil it down to its core, you had a confrontation between two shoppers. One was this black woman, this lawmaker in the state of Georgia. She's a member of the
Black Snowflake
State House. And a guy got mad that she was in the express line with a cart full of groceries, and you know he cussed at her a little bit, and it got heated.
Well,
he cussed at her
after she came back at him, vilifying him
right.
and calling him names.
That is true.
Then he said, "We'd say what he called her, but we wouldn't want to slander female dogs."
And she thought, I can exaggerate what happened, kind of embellish it a little bit and put a twist on it, and I can be the next martyr here. And I could be the next Jussie, but I'll get away with it. But she didn't count on this guy coming and crashing her press conference and just saying she was just full of you know what. But this is where we're at, I think, in a diverse society, Keith. These are the lawmakers of the future. Obese, low IQ, white-hating liars. IQ 2 points below a tumbleweed. Her scam didn't even make it 24 hours before it was blown apart. The media continues, I think, to this day to embellish it as if this was God's holy word. But thanks to the new media taking center stage and people on Twitter and other things, I mean, this thing fell apart very, very quick. But, Keith, I don't want you – I'm not setting this up for there to be some sort of a punchline here. And I don't – want you to say something that you think will just be funny for the audience. I just want you to give your true answer. You've seen a few clips of this woman that we watched pre-show tonight. You've seen her. What are we thinking about in terms of IQ here? And I ask this as a serious question because these are the people that are actually leading the state of Georgia.
Somewhere south of 90 would be my opinion. And like she was saying, she was being sent, she's being invited to be sent back to Africa. Nobody has that much postage to send her back.
I mean, we might as well have a little bit of a fun with it. But we were talking about IQ before the show, too. And what are the statistics on IQ that you were citing to be earlier?
Well, the reason the Bell Curve book was so controversial is that it shows that there's a 15-point difference between the median IQ of American blacks and the median IQ of American whites. The white median IQ is 100. The black American median IQ is 85. That is called one standard deviation point in the jargon of statisticians. And because of the bell curve configuration of the distribution of intelligence for any racial or ethnic group, including American blacks and American whites, that's very significant. It doesn't go down at the same angle like a pyramid. It goes out for a bit, then drops off a cliff and tails off. That's why it's a bell curve rather than a pyramid curve. And because of the bell curve configuration, only 16% based, and this is statistics, of American blacks have an IQ that is as high as or higher than the median white, and only 16% of American whites have an IQ as low as or lower than the median black.
And when it comes to preserving rule of law and Western civilization and all of the things that once made America a pretty decent place, why is this important?
It's important because to maintain a first world community, you have to have people that have enough candle power intellectually to carry it off. For example, 130 is supposedly the minimum IQ for a successful CEO. The mayor of a town or city is going to be a CEO of that community. Now, you could be in the same percentage of high IQ people in the black community and have, let's say, maybe 105 IQ, which is considerably south of 130. But those people are getting into positions of power and authority, getting elected to be the CEOs of major American
getting
cities.
Getting elected to be, yes, state representatives. I mean, this is a member of the state house. So that's why it's important.
It's important because we need to have our best and brightest in charge. When I was a kid and the 64 Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act and the Ted Kennedy-sponsored Immigration Act were being passed, we were assured that we were going to replace racial prejudice against blacks, not with racial prejudice against whites, but with instead meritocracy. Well, meritocracy, they flew by that in no time at all. They decided to go with affirmative action in 1969 under the Nixon administration. So much for depending on Republicans to look out for the interests of whites. And now we have no merit. We have people without merit getting positions, power, authority, and all the prizes of society. And they're running our society. And we all are suffering because of the lack of properly educated and intelligent leadership.
My final word on this would be, and we've taken a couple of segments now to make this a truly teachable moment. We're giving you the commentary on it that the establishment media should have given you if they were honest and if they were
free
thinkers.
They will never give you.
Hate hoaxes like this should be prosecuted as vigorously as so-called hate crimes. Hoaxes are more dangerous. I will tell you this, with regards to black-on-white hate crimes or whatever you want to call a hate crime, I know that it's a nonsensical thing and there's already laws on the book to punish any crime that could be committed. These are what they call, what do they call them, when they add on a penalty to an existing sentence?
An enhancement.
Enhancement, correct. I mean, it's only made to enhance crimes committed by whites. But we're talking about, you think about the, you know, maybe the bombing of the church in Birmingham or something. You know, you're talking about maybe five times something like that's happened in the last 50 years. So, you know, that's not the problem. But it's liars like Erica Thomas. They are the ones who are fomenting this racial hatred. And I think that hoaxes like this are in many ways more dangerous than the literally handful of whites who have committed horrible crimes as a result of
these so-called horrible crimes are like Count Dracula. They keep coming back to life. For example, the never ending evergreen tale of Emmett Till.
We're about to get into that.
Has cropped right back up into the news again. Always there to be front and center, preserved in pristine condition like Lenin's corpse in a hermetically sealed coffin.
We'll tell them the story about Emmett Till in the next segment because we only have a minute before we get in to the next break. So we'll save that as we transition during the break to this next item for conversation tonight. But just give them a quick tease without going into the details of what we're about to talk about.
Well, this was not even Emmett Till. It was an Emmett Till historical marker that apparently was brutalized. And see, what is happening is that Emmett Till, one black guy, okay, who was killed in 1955.
Tell him,
why is it more important for him than the 10 or 7 black guys that were killed in Memphis last week?
Very interesting. Why don't you give the quick backstory on who Emmett Till was and what the real story, because there's a great mythology that surrounds Emmett Till, and I'll say on the record that I'm sad he was killed. It's certainly been bad for the South, and that's been a millstone around the neck of white Southerners. But, I mean, murder is not a good thing, clearly. But why don't you give the backstory on what was going on there?
Okay, it's like Rahm Emanuel's favorite comment or most famous comment, which is that you never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, the national media back in 1955 was waiting with bated breath for something like this to happen. And it did happen. But if it had not happened, they would have made it happen, just like they made a false arrest situation and conflated it into the Montgomery bus boycott. They got the head, the prim and proper little head of the local Montgomery chapter of the NAACP, to sit on the bus, and they had somebody on the police force that was a fifth columnist to come in and get her arrested and to complain about it, and to turn it into this national story. Well, the left is going to, you know, pick and choose incidents and even manufacture incidents. But what happened with Emmett Till was that he apparently was some out-of-control Chicago teenager who was sent by his Chicago family south to Mississippi to get whipped into shape by his sterner elder relatives, his grandparents and uncles and people like that. Well, he proved to be as uncontrollable as they had feared he would be. He came down there and offended did something very offensive, much more offensive than what supposedly happened to this black Georgia legislature that has captured the headlines today, to a white female who was the one of the owners of this little rural grocery store. And then when the husband came back into town, it wasn't the wife that told on this guy. It was a black employee of the grocery store that told him about this incident. So rather than spoil the whole thing, let's go into it and we'll break it down even further.
When we return, stay tuned, everybody. And don't forget, Brother Nathaniel is only about 20 minutes away. We'll be right back.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay. Let's just boil this down very quickly because I don't want to belabor this whole thing. But y'all know, I guess you know, the mythology that surrounds Emmett Till. And one side of the story is Emmett Till was this angelic little black boy who was sent down, lived in the South, and he was murdered viciously by white racists for whistling at a white woman. Now, the other side of the story is Emmett Till was a hooligan, and he couldn't be handled by his family in Chicago, so they sent him down to live with other relatives in Mississippi, and he attempted to rape a white woman, and that is why he was alleged to have been murdered. And by the way, his father was hanged by the army in Italy for rape.
Yeah, I think it was one of the big magazines, Life or Look, published that he was a decorated war hero in World War II. The only truth about that is that he was a soldier, U.S. soldier in World War II, who was convicted and court-martialed of raping and then killing an Italian woman in Italy where he was serviced, and he was hung in Italy by the U.S. Army in punishment for his crime.
All right, so that's the backstory on Emmett Till. Now, why are we bringing this up? Why are we going back again to the 1950s and bringing this up? Well, because it is always being thrust upon us. So what's going on now? This made major, major news this week. So
this is,
of course,
a gift that keeps on giving to the left, Emmett Till and things like that from the civil rights movement.
There is now some sort of an historical marker near the site where Emmett Till's body was found, and from time to time it gets vandalized. Just like, by the way, the marker at the Nathan Bedford Forrest Boyhood Home was found vandalized just today. But when you vandalize,
or the Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville,
when you vandalize,
has been vandalized, somebody poured paint on it just this past week.
Not all vandalism is equal, is it, Keith? So you can vandalize and tear down a Confederate marker or monument, and there is no punishment whatsoever.
In fact, there's going to be kind of covert applause for it.
Even if you get caught red-handed, there is no punishment for vandalism or destruction of property or anything like that.
Probably
in those cases,
a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Now, in this case, the Emmett Till marker at the place where his body was found has been vandalized again recently, and it turned out that some boys from Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, were found smiling by the marker with bullet holes in it. And so they have now launched a civil rights investigation, the FBI. I mean, this is major news, as if that historical marker was Emmett Till himself or a black man or woman themselves, and they are launching full investigations into these kids for standing by the bullet-riddled sign and smiling. Now, vandalism, again, I will say, is not a good idea, no matter what you want to vandalize. Let's not do it. But I mean, this major, major punishment for these kids. They've already been expelled from their fraternity. The university is going to punish them, and they could very well do some time.
See, this is absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, bullet-riddled apparently means one bullet hole or shot at the sign. That's all that I saw on the picture of the sign. Well, I'll tell you what must have happened. Some local did this on purpose and shot at that sign and put a bullet into it. And then these boys were down there, saw the sign, saw the bullet hole, and said, hey, we're going to act like we did it.
That's
get
what
some
I
bravado,
think. That's
you
what
know,
I
like
think.
That, and we're going to post it and send it to our friends. Well, be very wary, young people, of imagining that all these people that pretend to be your friends are your friends. There are some Antifa members of the AWC, Anti-White Coalition, out there that will turn you in a thrice and be glad to destroy your life and your future prospects for prosperity with something like this. The idea that teenagers and college kids can pull pranks and, have it dismissed as, you know, boys will be boys or kids will be kids or something like that. That doesn't apply on the racially charged landscape of today.
This is where we're at, Keith. We can draw these two comparisons because they've happened in the same week. So we don't know who shot the Emmett Till marker. All we know is that some boys from Ole Miss took a picture smiling and posing with it. Okay,
with some guns.
And they have launched a civil rights investigation into this with jail time being on the table. And the Nathan Bedford Forrest Boyhood Home historical marker was similarly vandalized this week, and it hasn't even made the first bit of news. I mean, this other thing was a national news story. I saw it up on every feed I had a couple of days ago about these kids. At worst, it was a prank. It was vandalism. Maybe they pay a fine, but, you know, expulsion from potentially being expelled from college and jail time. This was not a living person. This was a sign.
What about Charlottesville and the Robert E. Lee statue, which was the focal point of the infamous Charlottesville demonstration, had white paint poured all over it, or some type of paint poured all over it this past week. It was just mentioned in passing, ho-hum. There's not going to even be an effort to try to find out who was responsible for doing that.
And if you pour white paint or do anything to one of these civil rights monuments or markers, and we're not encouraging anyone to do that. Let me be clear. It's a bad idea.
It's really a stupid thing
not
to do.
It's not the thing to do. But if you do that, you're going to go to jail. Quite possibly. You do it to one of these other things, it's not going to get mentioned.
You do it to a Confederate monument, and if they find out that you did it, you'll probably be asked to be the keynote speaker at the Democratic Presidential Convention.
Hey, speaking of the Democrats and what's going on, I say again, we just see everything increasingly becoming racially charged. And it's like you said, Keith, if they can't come up with a good example of white racism, they'll
manufacture
one like this lawmaker in the state of Georgia. But we see now Trump is back in the news. He has called West Baltimore disgusting and more dangerous than the southern border. On Saturday morning, the story reads, that was this morning, President Trump called Representative Elijah Cummings. And this is another example of a guy that has no business being in charge of anything, much less in the United States Congress. A brutal bully before suggesting that the district Cummings represents in West Baltimore is a, quote, disgusting rat and rodent infested mess, end quote. Elected officials and other public figures defended Cummings. Of course they did.
Yeah. What happened to the days when truth was an absolute defense? As I guarantee you what Donald Trump was saying about West Baltimore is at least true and at best an understatement.
Also want to thank Matt Goodwin, by the way. We need to give proper attribution while we're having this conversation tonight. Matt Goodwin was the one who informed us about the Bedford Forrest Boyhood marker being vandalized this week.
Silence is deafening all over the nation and all over the world about that particular vandalism, where on the other hand, I'm sure that the murders that happened in Memphis this week, whatever they were, whatever numbers are, has taken a backseat, and this will probably capture the headline of tomorrow's Sunday paper in the Communist Appeal, our local paper here.
I would say also, while we're on the topic of Nathan Bedford Forrest again, and he's been on this the topic on this show over the last couple of weeks, going back to the proclamation by the governor of the state of Tennessee that we covered 2 weeks ago, and then the governor's predictable cucking last week, and our steadfast support of our betters and our heroes, people like Nathan Bedford Forrest. Well, you know, of course, and we've made mention of this several times, so I know you know, but we did this taping for this network television show that's going to be airing in a few weeks, and we did this scene at the Nathan Bedford Forrest gravesite where I laid some roses, and that's going to go out to 3 million people, and we'll have to see, of course, how it's edited. But no, here we are standing up for our heroes. Well, the reason I bring that back up is that just this week, the editor of a publication in Quebec, Canada, has taken note of our support of Nathan Bedford Forrest, and we're going to be doing an email interview with one another. So people notice what we do here on the Political Cesspool. Of course, your support makes that possible. But we are able to, at least to the extent of our abilities, and we've always punched higher than our weight class in terms of, you know, dollar for dollar, what we have to work with versus what our adversaries in the media have to work with here in mainstream media. But we've always punched higher than our weight class, and here we are again. People notice what we do. The establishment, of course, we just last week? We were talking about CNN. You know, they're always monitoring what we're saying, and they use it in their packages. So we're getting the word out, folks, thanks to you. And we have another interview with a publication up in Canada that we're going to be doing here on Nathan Bedford Forrest, and it'll be out soon.
Well, they'll learn again. You know what typically happens. We have the interview. We do well in the interview. They don't get what they want to out of the interview, so they deep six the interview.
That is generally what happens, but it's not.
So what we will do is we will preserve all of those questions and our answers and publish them for our audience, so that the truth won't be dead and buried forever. At least it will exist on our website.
And we've done that with the New York Times. I think what we're dealing with up in Canada is a different situation. But we have done that in the past, and we will certainly do that again because it makes for an interesting read and good content. But here we are, folks, doing what we can. People take notice. We have risen to a level of prominence where we are on the radar of a lot of different folks out there in the media and in the news and certainly in government and all of that. But we are excited and honored and very, very happy that we are able to strike a blow from each week for the forces, for the good guys.
Well, for the cause of truth. That's
a lot of liars out there. Lot of liars out there, but one candle can make a difference, and that's what we're trying to do. But this whole thing about the Emmett Till thing and earlier in the hour, the Erica Thomas thing, this race hoax.
Well, you know, we mentioned this when we met before the show. There was an article in the last Sunday's Communist Appeal here in Memphis that we should not be honoring dishonorable people, and the dishonorable person that they were alleging was being honored was Nathan Bedford Forrest. Well, my reply is, we believe that entirely, so why are you honoring Martin Luther King, a serial adulterer, plagiarist, communist operative, and Christian heretic?
All right, we'll be right back, folks, with Brother Nathaniel. Are you ready? Stay tuned.
The hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.